Okay, Erev Tov, everyone. We're just going to get started here with Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze is a parsha in which we're focused, of course, on the creation of Am Yisrael. Up until now, it's always been Yechidim, it's been individuals, it's been Avram Avinu, it's been Sari Menu, Yitzchak Rivka. Last week was Yaakov as opposed to Esav. And now we come to a parsha in which Yaakov Avinu ve'yafutza menasav chutza. Yaakov Avinu spreads out. And of course, the Shiftei Ka, not all the Shvatim, but almost all of the Shiftei Ka are born. And in this week's parsha, Parshas Vayetze, and Parshas Vayetze begins with Yaakov Avinu running away from Esav, running to Haran, Vayelech Harana, and we're told that he spends a night in a very, very special place. He spends the night at the Makom HaMikdash, but the pasuk is very interesting. Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom, this is Chaf Ches Yud Aleph, 28:11. Vayivka b'makom, he comes to the place, vayalan sham, he spends the night there, kiva shemesh, because the sun had set. Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom, and he took from the stones of the place, vayasa me'rashosov, and he put them around his head, vayishkav b'makom ahu. And he slept there that night. And we know, of course, that the pasuk tells us that he took me'avnei hamakom from the stones of the place, but yet when he wakes up, he takes the even that all the stones were fighting, alaya niach tzadik rosho, on me the tzadik should rest his head. But why did he even put these? It doesn't say that he put it under his head. Ve'yasem me'rashosav, pashtus is, right, the way the article sense translates it, that he put it around his head. And Rashi tells us, Vayasa me rashosav, asa kimin marzev saviv larosho, sheyarim ibne chayos rosh, that he put the stones around his head like a protection, like some sort of, you could walk around, don't worry, it's fine. They could see you walk behind, don't worry, it's okay. So we won't say who just walked behind the camera. All good, all good. So Yaakov Avinu, he puts these stones around his head, right? And why does he put them around his head? So Rashi says, Sheyarim Nechayos Reles, quoting the Bereishis Rabbah, that he's afraid of wild animals. So there's a famous, famous question. Why is Yaakov Avinu putting the stones around his head if he's afraid of wild animals? Where should he put the stones? Around his whole body. Mm-hmm. Why does he put it, Vayasim Merashosov? He puts it around his head. What are you saying? A wolf is only going to attack your head? It's not going to chew on your toe? You know, not to be so graphic. But what does that mean, Vayasim Merashosov, that he puts it around his head? So a lot of Mefarshim struggle with what's pshat, based on the Bereishis Rabbah, that if it's really a function of being afraid of Chayos Rosh, so why is he davka putting it around his head only? He should be putting it around his whole body. So Zaktel Lubavitcher Rebbe, that what's Yaakov Avinu really afraid of here? What are the chayos ra'os that he's afraid of here? Why is it dafka his head? So he said, what's going on with Yaakov Avinu? We know Yaakov Avinu is the ish tam yoshev olam. Yaakov Avinu is the person who is most comfortable where? In the cloistered, safe environment of his tent and his beis medrash, right? We've quoted the idea from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky many times before, that before he goes out to Haran, to Lavan, he spends 14 years in the beis medrash of Shem Ve'Ever. What's he learning by Shem Ve'Ever for 14 years that he couldn't learn from his father, Yitzchak? His father is probably pretty good Rebbe. Why does he dafka to go to Shem Ve'Ever for 14 years? Because what were they teaching him? They were teaching him the Torah's Hagalos. Shem Ve'Ever lived in a world with no one else. Yitzchak had an Avram. Yitzchak had a Sarah. He had a Rivka as a spouse. Shem Ve'Ever really were like Yechidim, right? Shem wasn't the father of Ever, the grandfather. You were talking about people that were really iconoclasts on their own. And so he went to learn the secret of the Torah Sagalos, how to survive in exile from them. Yaakovin is very afraid going into Haran. But what's he most afraid of here? So the way the Lubavitcher Rebbe says it, why does he put the stones around his head? Because Yaakov Avinu is afraid of keeping his head clear, keeping his mind focused. Because what's the biggest danger of going to a Beis Lavan? What's the biggest danger of going into a Galus? It's losing your perspective. Losing the perspective. We've said it many times before that Rav Soloveitchik said, that Yaakov Avinu has two different dreams, at the beginning of the parsha, at the end of the parsha. At the beginning of the parsha, what does Yaakov dream of? He dreams of angels going up a ladder. What does he dream of at the end of the parsha? He dreams of sheep, speckled, spotted, ringed. And Rav Soloveitchik said, that's when Yaakov Avinu realized, I'm dreaming about sheep? I got to get out of here. Right? Because Yaakov Avinu knew, what's the greatest challenge when he's going to go into Galus? What's the greatest challenge for a Jew when they come into this world? The whole essence of us being here, the tafkid of why we're in this world is not to sit in a base medrash. The tafkid of the world is la'avdo l'shamras, to go out, l'sakin olam ba'ol malchus shakai. Right? We have a tafkid to go out into the world and to lift up the sparks of holiness everywhere that we can and to make a roshem in the world. We're not supposed to stay in the dalit kosle beis hamedrash, right? And we'll get to that soon. How do we know that that's not the tafkid here in this world? But Yaakov Avinu, in the very beginning of the parsha, is sending us a very important message. That when you do go out, when you are going out there into the world, when you're going to Charan, and Rashi tells us in last week's parsha, Charan from, Noach, at the end of Noach, sorry, not then told us. He says, Charan is a lashon of Charon af Hashem, like God's anger. Charan was a place steeped in idolatry, right? Charan was not exactly, Yushalayim. It wasn't the best influence. And Yaakov's going to Charan, right? That's where he's going. To run away to. So when he knows he's going there, he has to keep that perspective. And this is something that everyone speaks about. This is, of course, the Ramchal speaks about in the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim, Rabbi Nachman's famous story about the prince who thinks he's the turkey, right? There's so many different ways in which tzaddikim from all walks of life have taught us the most important thing is to make sure that your focus stays correct. Right? I've often said the secret of life is Iker V'Tafel. Iker V'Tafel, not only about what bracha to say on crispic cereal, Iker V'Tafel, but what?
It was in the Jewish link.
Oh, was it?
I thought that's what you said.
Oh, no. But that's always like the biggest shayla of brachos, crispic cereal, and Morish HaKolo. There were three different bracha possibilities to say in crispix. Either it's rice, either it's corn, or it's rice and corn. It's mizonos and hadama. You have to break them apart. It's a cereal. You have to check. See, you have to do your research. What's crispix, right? You're going to Google right now, what's crispix cereal, right? But the idea is that the whole essence of life is about Iker V'Tafel. It's about making sure that you have focus on what's primary, and what is secondary or tertiary in life? Because so often we get caught up in things. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, he thinks this is pshat in the pasuk, Yegia kapecha ashrechel v'tovlach, famous from one of the Shira Malises, right, that yekas sing under their chuppah, Yegia kapecha kisochel, that when you eat from the toil of your hands, ashrecha v'tovlach. And the Gemara says, ashrecha bolam hazeh v'tovlach la'olam haba. You'll be happy in this world, and it'll be good for you in the next world. What's that? Yegia kapecha kisochel, that you eat from the toil of your hands. So Zok Del Bavitcher Rebbe, that so often when people get involved in yegia kapecha, they get involved in parnas and all these things, what happens? They totally lose perspective. They totally lose perspective. And they do things that they shouldn't do. They lose a sense of yashrus. They lose a sense of what's appropriate. They lose so many of these things. So this is why Yaakov Avinu, when he's going into Galus, he's teaching us. I'm going into Galus, I'm afraid, and you know what I have to protect? I have to protect my head. And that's why the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he's not afraid of chayus ro'os, he's not afraid of wolves, he's not afraid of mountain lions, but he's afraid of chayus ro'os, he's afraid of the wrong chayus, of getting excited and getting his energy from the wrong things. Like, what gets you excited? What gets you motivated? What gets you moved? Right? And, we've often spoken about the positive religious experiences. The excitement of going to see a tzaddik, the excitement of going to a shir, the excitement of a davening, of a yontif. But these excitements, and of course, even in celebrating yontif, even in Torah, there could be, the Iker and Tafel, like we have to make sure that our kids remember what's Iker v'Tafel, even in Yontif, even in Shabbos, what's the Iker and what's the Tafel. And this lesson that Yaakov Avinu is teaching us, that when we go out into the world, we have to make sure of keeping the proper perspective, and that Yaakov Avinu, right, that this is his primary challenge. Yes, naturally he's the Ishtam Yoshev Olam. He'll sit in the basement for all day. But he understands by going to Haran that the tafkid of life is something else. And this, the Rebbe says, is seen in the naming of one of his sons in Perek Lamed Pasuk Chaf, page 156. Right? When Leah starts having children again herself, right, she gives birth to a ben chamishi to Yaakov, Yisachar. Then she has Vatar Od Vatele Bein. This is Perek Lamed Pasuk Tes 19. Vatele Ben Shishi Yaakov, the last final son she's going to give birth to Yaakov. For Yaakov, Vatomer Leah, Zevadani Elohim Osi Zevetov. Hashem has given me a great, has allotted to me a great portion. Hapam Yizbeleni Ishi, Ki Elatta Lo Shisha Banim, Etkreshimo Zevulin. Hapam Yizbeleni Ishi. What does Yizbeleni mean? It's a very strange Lashon. You look at Rashi, Yizbeleni Lashon Beis Zevul. From Malachim Aleph, Perek Ches Pasuk Gimel, talking about the Beis HaMikdash. Beis Mador, meaning a place of dwelling. Me'ata lo te'ika diraso ela imi, she'yesh li banim keneged kol nashav. Beis Zeved Tov, Yizbeleni Ishi, means that Beis Zavul, Zavulin is named for Beis Zavul, that Yaakov's Makom Dira is now with Leah. And Zakta Lubavitcher Rebbe and many other tzaddikim point out that the Zavulun is the Beis Zavul of Yaakov Avinu, that somehow if his name is Zavulun, the Beis Zavul, that the Iker Chiyas, the Iker place where Yaakov is going to live, be expressed through Zavulun, I would say it would be expressed through which son? Or Yehuda or Yisachar. Think about who's the one that's the learner all day. Yaakov is, again, if the Ishtam Yoshev Olam, who's the Kolonik of the sons? It's not Yehuda. The Kolonik of the sons is, of course, Yisachar. Who's Zavulun?
He's a supporter.
Zavulun is the worker, the Chof HaYamim. He'll support Torah. But what does this mean, Dr. Lubavitcher Rebbe, that the Beis Zavul for Yaakov Avinu, the primary abode for Yaakov Avinu, is going to be through Zavulun? Like, why is that? Yaakov Avinu, his Midah is Emes, his Midah is Teferis, his Midah, Yaakov is the Amud HaTorah, right? He's the pillar of Limud HaTorah. So Yaakov is primarily going to be expressed in some ways through Zavulun. So Zakhtel Bavitcher Rebbe, exactly. Yes, through Zavulun. Because this world is not about sitting and just, you know, connecting to spirituality day and night. What's this world about? This world is about facing nisyonos, facing challenges, and standing up to them. Not, of course, chas v'shalom, not that we go looking for nisyonos. We say every day in davening, we ask Hashem, don't bring me to nisyonos. I don't want nisyonos, right? David HaMelech asked for it, and the Gemara Shabbos points out it was a disaster. We don't ask to be challenged by Hashem. But we know that the whole purpose of being in this world is lamud b'nisayon, is to face nisyonos, and that's why the Mishnah Novos tells us that Avram Avinu had 10 tests. Expect to be challenged in life. That's what this world is about. And what Yaakov Avinu, going into Galus, teaches us, and the naming of Zavulun as the Beis Zavul, the Iker abode of Yaakov Avinu, is through Zavulun, this son. Why? Not the one that's going to sit and learn Torah all day. I remember once asking Rav Aaron Lichtenstein about this, that's all, my Rebbe. Like, why should I want to be a kolonik? Like, why do I want to go out and do anything in the world? Isn't that the ideal? If I can live an ideal life, just sit in kol. He goes, that's not the ideal for Olam Hazeh. That's not the ideal. That's the ideal of Olam Haba. Are there a few? The Rambam says there are a few that can do this. But he says, look in the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos in the sixth parak says that there were two great tzaddikim, Rav Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, just learn all day, and your needs will be taken care of by others. Rabbi Shmuel said, no. He says, you learn when you can in the morning, at night, but you go to Parnassa, you have a job. And the Gemara says, Harbe al Asa Kirashbi, Kirib Shmuel va'olsa biyadam. Harbi asu kirashbi v'lo olsa biyadam. That most people, who did it work out with? Their mahalach. The mahalach of Rabbi Shmuel, the mahalach of a Zavulun. And the Bavitcher Rebbe says, the overwhelming majority of Kal Yisrael are Zavulun Jews, not Yisachar Jews. What, everyone's living b'diavad? He goes, of course not. Of course not. Chas v'shalom. It means that, and the Rebbe, he's a very strong Lashon, that to a certain degree, Zavulun's Avoda is greater than Yisachar. The Beis Zvul is by those that are involved in. Why? Because they're the ones going out. Their avoda is tested. Their avoda is lifted up and accomplishes things. That the avoda of the person who never leaves the Beis Medrash is not challenged in the same way. It's a famous story we've shared many times at the Vilna Gaon asked the Dubna Magid for Musar. And the Dubna Magid was very nervous to give Musar to the Vilna Gaon. How do you give the Vilna Gaon the Gra Musar? Right? He could burn you up with his eyes. You say the wrong thing to him, and you know? So the Vilna Gaon will get, no, give me Musar. I want Musar from you. I'm Mochi for anything. Give me Musar. And the Dubna Magid says, you think you're so great, you're the Vilna Gaon. That's because you never leave this room. You stay in this room, you close the shutters, you learn by the light of a candle. He said, go out into the world and see if you're a Vilna Gaon. Go out into the world and see if you could still be this person. It's no chiddush to be who you are when you cloister and close yourself off from the world. But that's not what we're meant to be. And there are different versions exactly what the Vilna Gaon responded. Right? We've said this before, right? Some say the Vilna Gaon said, and that's why I'm the Vilna Gaon, because I don't go out. Others say the Vilna Gaon cried and said, you're right, I'm afraid to go out. You know, they say the Vilna Gaon learned a certain parak of Mesilas Yesharim. I've heard different versions. Three times before he left his house, he learned the parak. Every time he left his house, he would first learn this parak of Zahiris, of being careful of not to sin. Can you imagine? I mean, the level that he was on? But that's not what we're meant to be, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says. Maybe few yechidim. But we have to know is the key is that we have to go out into the world, but the challenge is to keep that perspective. Yigia kapecha kisocha shrecha v'toblach means that your work, it's good for you, and you'll be fortunate and good for you in the next world. Yigia kapecha kisocha, when your work is a function of your hands, that your whole life is not about your work. If your whole life is about your work, it's not going to be ashrecha, and it's not going to be toblach, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says. That we have to make sure that our life is about the right things. Of course we have to go to work, and of course we have to have the proper kavanas when we go to work. And when we go to work, we can lift that up, and we can transform that into a mitzvah as well, as we've said many times. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zakos Yisrael l'fika cherblam Torah mitzvahs, that Hashem made so many of the things we do into Torah mitzvahs, as long as you have that proper perspective. As long as you have the proper perspective, this is all Torah mitzvahs. Everything that we do, whoever we're dealing with, everything is an opportunity to be mekadesh shem shamayim in this world. Whether it's in the privacy of your home, whether it's outside at work, whether it's talking to someone in the community, we always have these challenges and we always have these opportunities. The key Yaakov Avinu is telling us in the beginning of the parsha is to make sure vayasim meirash osof. Make sure that you're thinking correctly. Because if you lose perspective, if you lose the head, if you lose the cup, then it's not good. My grandmother, Zichrono Livracha, she would always say this. She would always say, because my Saba, Nebuch, you know, lost his mind at the end of his life. And my grandmother always said, as long as I got this, I'm okay. Tapping her head. As long as I got this, I'm okay. The knees cannot work. This cannot work. As long as I got this, she would say, I'm okay. Right? But Yaakov Avinu was saying the same thing. As long as you got this, as long as you have your head, as long as you protect your head from the chiyas ra'os, that we get excited about. I know it's not here that you get excited by football, really, right? It's not, you know? But what is it that we get excited by? What are the things that oh, this is what I get into? Everyone has their nisayan. Everyone has that challenge. But halavai, our chiyah should come from kedusha. Our chiyah should come from matters of holiness. That's what we should get excited by. And this is, in fact, a little bit of the debate, the argument between Yaakov and Lavan later on in the parsha. At the very end of the parsha, we know Lavan chases after Yaakov Avinu, right? And there's a back and forth. Exactly what was going on. And Yaakov Avinu tells him, the Pasuk Mem Aleph, Lamed Aleph Mem Aleph, page 166, 3141. Yaakov says, I never slept. Zeli Esrim Shana Beveisecha Vadaticha. I've served you for 20 years in your house. Arba Esri Shana Beshtevin Osecha Veshe Shana Mitzonecha. 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for some flocks. Vatachalifas maskurti aser, you changed up on me all the time, and God watched out for me. But then in Mem Gimel, Vayan Lavan Vayomer El Yaakov. This is what is fascinating. Habanos benosai, vahabanim banai, vahatzon soni. Said, the daughters are my daughters, the sons are my sons, and the flocks are my flocks. V'chal asher atoroel lihu, everything he sees really mine, v'livnosai ma'aseh le'ela hayom olivnein asher yoladu. What's Lavan saying back? What's his back and forth with Yaakov and Lavan? It's like, you read it, you're like, we're missing something. What are we missing? So Zach de Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know what's going on here? This is a great debate in philosophy. Lavan is saying, Habanos benosai, banim banai, hatzon soni. Lavan's telling Yaakov, you know what? I mean, because Yaakov responds, Yaakov tells him, and Elokei Avraham, Pachad Yitzchak, Kaya Likya, Tarei Kam Shlachtani, meaning Hashem protected me, right? God, I had God in my corner. And Lavan says to Yaakov, he responds, Vayan, he responds to Yaakov. And he says, Habanos benosai, vabanim banai, hatzon soni. He says, you know what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said Lavan is saying to Yaakov? Yaakov, you can have Hashem. And it's great you have Hashem. But you know where you can't be stuck in your old-fashioned ways? Habanos benosai vabanim banai, the new generation. Yaakov, you can't raise the new generation with the old messages. How are you going to raise the new generations? You can't raise the new generations. They have to be me. They have to be modern. They have to be cutting edge. Vatzon tzoni, in business, you're going to be talking about God in business. In business, you have to forget Hashem in business. You think you're going to get ahead in business by being tamim? You think you're going to get ahead in business by following the Torah? Are you crazy, Yaakov Avinu? And that's what Yaakov was telling him. Yaakov was telling him, I've worked hard. And you're constantly changing on me. Because in the modern world, the message is constantly changing. There's a new flavor every day. There's a new wokeness every day of what the new philosophy of the world is. Think about it. Think about how the world has changed in 20 years. In 20 years, think about how olam hafach, how crazy things are. Someone went to sleep, Rip Van Winkle goes to sleep in the 1970s, wakes up today, looks around, what, put me back to sleep, like seriously. And every day things are changing. Askeris, you're changing the terms all the time. You're telling me that with chinuch of the children, it has to be, you have to educate them in the modern ways. Again, we don't mean pedagogical tools. That's not what not what Lavan is saying. What Lavan is saying is, your relationship with Hashem, that's old school, Yaakov. Let your kids branch out. Let your kids do something else. In business, the chinuch and in parnasa, why are you meshubad to the old schools? Why are you meshubad to the rules that Hashem's given you? Come on. But Yaakov Avinu refused to bend. Yaakov Avinu, he stands by what he said. And he said, we're going to have a matzeva. We're going to make a deal. You had your say. You keep to your side. I'm going to keep to my side. Meaning these are two philosophies that are never going to work out. Again, Yaakov Avinu goes into the world. We just said Yaakov Avinu goes to Haran. He goes into the world to pick up the sparks of holiness, to make a place for God to dwell in this world. But here he finds something with Lavan. The covenant with Lavan is not that we're going to be together. With Esav, he says, you go ahead. Eventually, we'll travel together, right? That's Allah. When Mashiach comes, the pig is going to be kosher, right? That Esav is going to be, if you will, resurrected to a certain degree. What that means, we're not going to get into. But Lavan is done. Yaakov creates the stone. You don't come over here like, Bugs Bunny and like puts his finger over the side. Ah, you get right? Yaakov says, no. You stay on one side, I'm on the other side. We can never mix. Because of this philosophy of Lavan. The philosophy of Lavan that's so dangerous. You can have your Hashem. You can have your Hashem. But come on, you got to modernize things. And certain things, you got to think different, right? And of course, who was this? This was the same challenge with Hanukkah. Right? The Seleucid Greeks, the Syrian Greeks, what did they say? They said, you could have your Beis HaMikdash. You could have your Beis HaMikdash. We're not going to destroy your Beis HaMikdash. But at least update it. Come on, put in some of our idols in there. You know, you can have some mitzvahs, but come on, some of your mitzvahs are barbaric and old school, bris milah, right? Every couple of years, someone does something about bris milah. They try an aser bris milah somewhere else in the world, right? I mean, no, they tried to put it on a ballot in California, in San Francisco, a couple of years ago, to forbid bris milah in San Francisco, right? Come on, the barbaric old ways, you got to give those things up. That's Nebuch, there were a lot of Jews who fell in line with that, that they were Hellenized Jews. And they Rachmana Litzlan, they fell in a hard way to this Nisayon. And so when we talk about the challenge of Golus, and many say that, remember we once learned together that the Balaturim points out that there's not one space in all of Parshas Vayetze. If you look from the beginning of Vayetze, page 144, until the end of Vayetze, 168, and it's a big parsha, 148 psukim, right? If you go through all, you will not find one space in the whole parsha. There's not one psuch or stuma. There's no, there's like look in Toldos. So you see for a while there's no psuch or stuma, but then you turn back to 132, and you see there's spaces in 132. And then you turn a little bit back, 128, oh, there's space. Those spaces in the Chumash are reflecting spaces in the Torah, in the Parsha. But Vayetze, from the beginning to the end, there are no spaces. The Baal HaTurim points out there are no spaces. Why? Because this is the Parsha of Golus. And when a Jew goes to Golus, what happens? It closes in on you. And the danger of Golus, there's no space. Because what do you need the Revach for? What do you need the space for? To think, to reflect on what you just read. But this parsha, there's no space. Yaakov, from the time he leaves the house, and that's what the Rav said when he starts dreaming of sheep. That's when Yaakov says, "Okay, I got to get going. I got to get going. Something's not healthy here." That's when he goes, "Right, but that's exactly it." Banos benosai banim banai son soni. What does that mean? He was telling Yaakov that no, yeah, of course, no. But that's what the Rebbe's saying. He wanted to uproot everything. By injecting him with a philosophy that was totally corrupt, that was totally against Torah, a philosophy that could have been Lakar Zakol. That's why Yavan, Greece, which didn't want to kill the Jews, right? Just wanted to meld the cultures together, right? What does the Medrash say Yavan was? Choshech. Yavan was Choshech. Because what is darkness? The Ramchal writes in Mesil Sisharm, you know what darkness does? What does darkness do? It takes away your perspective. You can't see things. You think you're seeing something, but you can't tell because it's dark. You have no perspective. And that's what Yavan did. And that's what Yaakov Avinu was afraid of. And this is what we have to do. It's very hard. It's very hard, day in and day out. It's such a challenge to keep perspective. I've often thought that's what davening is. What's davening really about? Davening is about asking Hashem, yeah, of course, but what's davening really about? Davening is about just correcting your head. Vayasami rashosav, davening of the stones that you protect yourself with. That when you get up in the morning, what's my day supposed to be about? At night, Mariv or Shema, just what was my day about? What do I want tomorrow to be about? Mincha is the hardest, especially now that we just changed the clock. To daven mincha? Oh my gosh, forget about it. Forget about it. Mincha. Crazy. For Shki is 440 something, you know? I remember one time when I was my early admissions year in YU, I was winter break. I was working down on Wall Street. You know, I was interested in going into business. And I remember the day that I just missed Mincha. And I was so despondent. That's not what made me become a rabbi. I was still going to be a rabbi. I was still going to be a businessman, even though I missed Mincha. You know, but you're working down in Wall Street in these big buildings. You don't see a window as a guy working on a winter break. You know, I'm doing grunt work. I'm not. You know, but in an office with a window, I'm at a desk in a cubicle around. I'm just, how should I miss Mincha? Just not like, oh my gosh, you didn't realize what the time was, and you miss Mincha. So this is the challenge, and that's why davening, especially Mincha. That's why they say the Gemara Bracha says that mincha is the most powerful tefillah. There's a Gemara Brachas that says, the tefillah that you have the most potential to be answered from is mincha. Why mincha? Because it's the hardest one. It's the hardest one to daven. It's the hardest one to have kavana for. You know, there's no question. And again, lefum tzar agra. But this is so important to keep a clear mind. And that's what Yaakov Avinu is doing. And halavai, halavai, look, that's what brachas are supposed to be. Every time we say a bracha, it's supposed to be a mini meditation. Problem is, we do them so fast. We just, but that's why Chazal say 100 brachas over the course of the day. Hopefully, just by saying enough brachas, you know, to stop and think about Asha Yatzar, to stop and think about Shahakol Nia Bedvaro. Shahakol Nia Bedvaro. Do you realize what a boost of Emunah Shahakol Nia Bedvaro is? That everything is by Hashem's word. Everything is by Hashem's word. And it's the simplest bracha. It's the easiest bracha, Shahakol Nia Bedvaro. But it's all about keeping this perspective. And this is what we have to try and do. Create the space that we can reflect, that we can think, and in that way, recharge to give ourselves the focus. Hashem should bless us all. Hashem should bless us all, that we should always be able to maintain focus, right? We'll end with one yesod of midos that the Rambam talks about, that a lot of tzaddikim talk about. What happens when we lose focus? You know which midah comes out when we lose focus? Anger. We get angry when we lose focus. That's why anger is the most dangerous midah. That's why the Rambam writes, it's the only midah you should not have any of. Arrogance? You can have 1/64th of arrogance. A shmini shebishminis of arrogance. You can have a little arrogance. Why? You have to have gaivat kedusha, right? You have to have holy chutzpah. Okay, somehow Jews have plenty of that, right? Somehow we have an overload. I'm not sure how much of our chutzpah is really holy chutzpah, or it's just chutzpah. But the Rambam says anger, not allowed to have it all. He says you might need to show anger, to show anger to students, to kids. But the Rambam says you should never feel anger. Why? Because what's anger? Anger is when you've lost perspective, right? That's what anger is. And that's why the Gemara says when someone loses anger, when someone is bekas, it's like they worship an idol. Why? Because Avodah Zarah is the ultimate loss of perspective. That's Charon. That's where he's going to. Charon Av, a place of idolatry, of lost perspectives. And so this is why the Ramban talks about anger as being the midah that you have to work on right away. And the Rambam talks about the danger of anger. And, you know, it's pasha. We've given a whole shiurim on it, right? Just talking about the danger of kas. And I'm sharing it because I need it, you know? How many times a day I get ticked off, gets upset about something, you know? And then I know it means I have to work on my emunah better when I get angry. It means my emunah is not strong enough. It's Hashem's way of saying, Chaim, you think you're all that? No, go back to first grade, you know. Go work on emunah. Go meditate a little bit. Take a minute to just say over and over whatever it is you need to say to get you back into a place where you can let go of the kas. You can let go of the anger. That's bringing it down a little too real. I'm sorry. I apologize. That's bringing it a little too real. Again, for me, I'm talking to myself. Whoever else wants to listen, mm-hmm. You get to listen. Okay, thanks so much, everyone, for coming out and learning tonight.
Thank you.